This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Well, 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 bringing you all the up-to-date information on sexual health and well-being. Brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council, Gay Men's Health Centre, on Joy 94.9.
Joy. And welcome to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. It's brought to you live every Tuesdays. I'm Carlos, and my co-hosts today, Jack and Anthony. Thanks to Steve for the news. And thanks to the Gasman for the morning show.
Yeah, good on you, Gasman.
Yeah, he's got a great voice.
How are we today, boys?
Pretty good. Pretty good nursing the sore hand. But also on the weekend, I went up to Albury to hear Rodney Croom, the activist and marriage equality activist and human rights activist, basically, speak on human rights and social justice at St. Matthew's Church in Albury. And he's a very impressive man. I'm pleased to have met him.
Please, more information about your sore hand. What happened?
Well, I just fell. I was crossing the road outside of work, and I fell. And
on your hands?
On my hands.
You were crossing the road?
Crossing the road.
Using your hands?
No, just crossing the road. And then two very nice gentlemen turned the corner and saw this body lying on the road, and they were Anthony and Carlos.
Yes.
You found me lying on the road.
Yes.
So thank you.
Lying in a gutter. It's not the first time.
So on Well, 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 we talk about anything to do with the GLBTI community, any issues related to the GLBTI community. We're all about sex, health, and well-being. What's on the show today, boys?
Well, today we've got a number of guests. We're going to be talking to Craig from the Melbourne Chargers. That's the rugby team. And Disco from Melbourne Surge water polo team about sports in GLBTI communities.
Great. I love sports, and I love hearing about how various codes are doing with GLBTI inclusive work. So it'd be great to talk to the boys soon.
We're also talking with Simon Ruth, the CEO of VAC, about the hypothetical Does Dracula Have AIDS, which is going to be screened during Melbourne Queer Film Festival.
That's good, because we've got exciting guests, a great show, and we're here for the good times.
So if you want to get involved in the conversation today, folks, feel free to do so. You can like us on facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy, or you can call us and speak to our gorgeous receptionist on 1300-JOY-949. Send us an email, if you'd like, on onair@joy.org.au. And if you have any energy left, feel free to SMS us on 0427-JOY-949.
So but don't forget to tweet us either.
Oh, gee, we're tweeting as well. Tweet us at wellwellwelljoy.
Indeed.
Is there a hashtag or something or other in tweets? I'm not familiar with tweets, how that whole thing works.
Just give us a call.
So, look, as Tex will say, there's a plethora of ways to get
That's
involved
true.
With... With the show.
Exactly. There are. So get involved in the conversation. We've got a couple of interesting topics to get through. But before we do that, we're going to go to a couple of songs.
And celebrate our diversity.
We are going to celebrate our diversity. And we'll be back right after this. I think Dolly Diamond's around.
Hi, this is Dolly Diamond, and you're listening to Joy 94.9. It's the only radio station that'll have me.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. Today we're talking with Disco from the Melbourne Surge, the water polo team, and Craig from Melbourne Chargers, the rugby team. Welcome to the show, boys. Disco, is Surge a team where only people from the GLBTI community can join?
No, not at all. We've had many straight people come and play along with us, and even some of our coaches, most of our coaches have been straight.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll take anyone, basically.
All right, so it's female and male?
Female as well.
Yeah.
We don't have that many, but we're hoping to start up a female team very shortly.
Any age group or age limitations? Or
Most of our people are between the ages of around 20 to all the way to 40.
Oh, so I'd fit in then.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Terrific.
So, I mean, this might be a silly question, but why would someone who identifies as heterosexual and a rugby player come to the Melbourne Chargers? Sorry.
They would do that because the Chargers are all about including, creating an inclusive and safe environment for anybody to come and play. And we have quite a few straight players who come along and have said that they just want to play for the Chargers because of what we stand for and what we do for the community.
Okay, so a bit of a social justice kind of motivation.
Yeah, and also we're a family, and a lot of people just like the fact that we are a family and really want to join in on that.
So backtracking a little bit, Craig, from the Chargers. The Chargers are as well open.
Yes, we are. We're an inclusive team.
Yeah, inclusive team.
Yeah. Unfortunately, because of the competitions that we play in, we're unable to have female players, but our host club has a female team, so we always direct anybody who's interested to join our host club with their women's team and to come along to all of our Chargers events.
And who's your host club?
The Melbourne Unicorns.
Mm. Right. And sorry, Disco, I jumped across you then. We were talking about polo, water polo a second ago.
That's
all right. So the question stands for you as well. I mean, why would people who don't identify as LGBTIQ join your club?
We've had a lot of people who have been brothers of past players.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they want to get in on the action as well. And like Craig said, it is one big, huge family that we have down at the pool.
Right.
We've also had, two straight brothers come along that from a rival team that have played up and competed in international competitions with us as well. So it's been really great to expand.
Okay. Well, can I just ask this thing? Because I know that, it sounds like that these clubs are about social inclusion and participation and everyone contributing, but it's really about winning, isn't it, at the end of the day? I mean, we want to win, right?
Yes and no. So, we definitely have a more competitive team with the Chargers who we, want to win, and we've won silverware. We won the second tier at the Bingham Cup last year, and we won the Neil Hay Cup a couple of weeks ago at Amy Park against the Convicts, and we always play in purchase cups and things like that. So, we do want to win because it's always nice, but we also have a huge environment of getting people ready to play. So, because a lot of our new recruits have never played rugby before, so there's a large social play aspect to it as well.
Now, this question is for both of you. We'll maybe start with you, Craig. Why is it important that there are sports teams specifically inclusive of GLBTI members of the community or athletes, or a component of that?
I think it's really important because through no fault of, I guess, any kind of individual or anything like that, there is a very strong macho culture in sport, and I think it's very easy for people to feel uncomfortable with their sexuality in those kind of situations. And so it's very important to have inclusive teams where people can feel safe to be mm-hmm. who they are and still do the things that they enjoy.
Disco, anything to add to that?
Pretty much like was said, we play against a lot of the straight teams from the suburbs and stuff like that that don't have very little interaction with gay people.
Sure.
So, for us to actually go in and compete against them and beat them.
So it's role modelling as well, if you like.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's exposure and role modelling.
We can break the stereotypical style of... Yeah,
definitely.
Talking about stereotypes and all that kind of stuff, the next song is This Is Who I Am by Vanessa Amorosi.
We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well. SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au to have
Hi,
your say.
Hi, this is Rhonda Birchmore and you're listening to my favourite station, Joy 94.9. The best boys, the best girls, the best everything. It's just a joy to be on it.
Indeed, this is Joe 94.9 and you're listening to Well, 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 brought to you by the Victorian AIDS Council. Now we're talking with Disco from the Melbourne Surge Water Polo Team and Craig from the Melbourne Chargers Rugby Team. Now guys, I understand both of you are actively recruiting new members, so who will be the ideal person to go and join you guys either in the field or in the water? Let's start with Craig.
the ideal person is someone who's willing, really. We're not discriminatory about who comes along to training. Even if you haven't played before, that's absolutely fine. We train you up straight from the beginning. So, anybody who's willing to come along and join and be a part of our family.
How often do you train?
We train twice a week, and we usually have a game on the weekend.
Uh-huh.
It's a little bit intensive, but you know, you don't have to turn up to every training. We turn up to what you can and just come along and have fun.
It is an intensive program, but a healthy and a good program. Because some of our colleagues have actually been and are playing with you in the training process.
Yes,
and gotten injured.
Well, it happens in any sport, doesn't it?
Is that
it?
What happened to your hand?
Okay. Yeah,
but I'm wondering about water polo as well, and I'm thinking how, because you know, rugby sounds like a physically challenging sort of sport, but water polo, I mean, a lot of upper body work as well. Like, you know, do you work? It's a good shoulder workout, isn't it?
Yeah, it's upper body, it's legs, it's and core, legs. It's everything. It's a full body workout. So ideally, we'd like to have someone that could actually play water polo. Or it could actually swim. We don't want you to drown on your first day. Yeah, that would be bad.
I knew there'd be a catch. There'd be a catch.
Right.
So, Disco, the Melbourne Surge is holding their own rookies program at the moment. What is it and when and how do people get involved?
It's actually starting up this Sunday, the 22nd of March, at South Yarra Sports Centre, on the corner of Chapel Street and Alexandra Avenue.
Yep.
And it's a 10-week program, which will be $90 all inclusive, and that will teach you all the skills that you need to play water polo.
And what time would that be?
From 3 to 4:30.
From 3 to 4:30. And if they needed to be in touch, they can just Google Melbourne Surge.
You can Google Melbourne Surge.org. That's our new website.
Just turn up.
You also have a Facebook page.
Yeah. But, we on the actual website, we have a rookie sign-up sheet. So you can actually just click on the link and it'll just take you straight through. And then we've got an idea of people that are coming on the day as well.
So can I just ask a question about the sport and sort of either in the water or on the field? And, I mean, I've got a background in playing Aussie rules footy. And back when I used to play, not that long ago, but all sorts of slurs would be used on the field to try and get into your opponent's head and that sort of thing. With playing for a sort of GLBTI team, does any of that go on, or is there any sort of, like, say for example on the rugby field, you're tackling each other, you're hurting each other in some way? I mean, the aim is to go for the ball and that sort of thing. But anything like that go on the field?
Generally, no. Most teams are actually really respectful. As much as it's a competitive game and you are challenging each other physically, there's also a level of respect that happens between players.
Okay.
So, you know, as much as you're trying to get a ball off someone, you're not trying to hurt them personally.
Now, Craig, the Melbourne Chargers training season's already underway. However, if anyone wants to come on board now, can they, and how do they do so?
Of course they can. We're happy to take new recruits on at any time. They just start turning up to training. At the moment, it's Mondays and Wednesdays at Gardner Park at 6:30 in Glen Iris. At the moment, because our season starts this weekend, we recommend that if you're going to turn up, please bring a mouth guard, even if it's just a boil and bite from the chemist.
Yep.
But other than that, just exercise gear and some runners.
Sounds good. I might be there.
And just... for general information, do you only play with older gay teams, or and this goes for both disco?
No, we play against all the other straight teams throughout the league. The only time we do gay competition is when we do out games or gay games or igla.
Okay. Is there many in Australia, like water polo gay teams?
Oh, there's only us and the Sydney Stingers.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I think it's really significant work, isn't it? Having clubs like this in sort of mainstream sports to break down sort of barriers and stereotypes and that sort of thing. So you're kind of doing sort of activist work as you're playing sport, I reckon.
Yeah, and that's what we aim to do.
And what about Melbourne Chargers?
So we play in the General Victorian competition throughout our main season, but every year we have the Purchase Cup, which is the Southern Hemisphere gay rugby tournament, which this year is in New Zealand, and every 2 years we have the Bingham Cup, which is the international gay rugby tournament.
And you did quite well. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we've been talking to the terrific Craig. Sorry, I went to say
from
Chris,
the Melbourne Chargers.
From Melbourne Chargers, and Disco from Melbourne Surge. Thanks, guys. Now, thanks for coming in. We wish all the very best for your respective seasons this year and for the Bingham Cup in 2 years' time.
Yes, thank you.
And for the championships, for the water polo championships.
Yes, thank you very much.
Bring home some more silverware. Come on.
And a little bit of gold.
Thanks for coming in, guys. All the best.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Now, next we have we'll be talking to Simon Ruth. Simon Ruth is the Chief Executive Officer for the Victorian AIDS Council. And we're talking about a very special event that's coming up, Jeffrey Robertson's hypothetical, Does Dracula Have AIDS? Hi, Simon.
Hi, Jack. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the show. Now, VAC is presenting the Jeffrey Robertson's hypothetical, Does Dracula Have AIDS, during the Melbourne Queer Film Festival. Can you tell us, remind the listeners, please, what a hypothetical is and in what year was this particular one made?
So people who grew up in Australia in the 80s and 90s will probably remember them. Jeffrey Robertson's an international human rights lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses the hypothetical to explore issues, and the hypothetical is where he tells the story and then he gets experts to comment on the story at different points throughout the story. And this one is probably his most famous, Does Dracula Have AIDS? It was shown in August in 1986, and it was at the height of the AIDS epidemic, and it was one of the first ones he did, and it had an impact on Australian health policy. I mean, it still has ramifications today that came out of this particular show.
So, Simon, what were the issues that were discussed on the Dracula Have AIDS hypothetical back in 1986?
Thanks, Carlos. He followed the story of a closeted Australian actor called Earl Flint, who discovers he had AIDS. We talked a lot about AIDS back then, not HIV. But he discovers he has AIDS, and then it explores his story, and he confides in a priest, and his doctors find out. And so it looked at homophobia, it looked at confidentiality, it looked at disclosure rights, it looked at gay rights at the time that was still illegal to be gay in Queensland and Tasmania. It also followed fertility. His wife wanted to have children and she wasn't aware that he was HIV positive. It looked at needle exchange in prisons. They even joked, at one point they joked about Ida Buttrose being used for education in HIV. And we all now know that Ida Buttrose became one of the most important figures in HIV education. There was probably someone watching that show who thought, what a great idea that is. And it also talked about things that we're still talking about today, like gay marriage. And at one point there was a question about putting to a doctor if you managed to combine some drugs and it had such a great impact. So they talked about combination therapy 10 years before we actually saw the research paper on it. So it's a really good watch for anybody who's interested in HIV or gay rights history in Australia.
Okay, when it comes to HIV treatment and prevention for PLWHAs, what was the outcome or what influence did it have that did that hypothetical have on the political scenario back then?
I think it outed homophobia. Fred Nile was on the show, and they asked Fred Nile a number of questions about how he would cope with somebody confiding in their HIV positive and what the rights were of positive people. At the time, they had positive people who had AIDS back then at the time on the show, and they also, I think, had a president of ACON, our sister organisation in New South Wales. And they talked a lot about the rights of the individual. And this was at a time when governments were considering locking people up.
That's right.
They were still speculating on, do we round up all the gay men and we figure out who's HIV positive and actually lock them in a camp somewhere. So I think the human rights aspects were quite significant. And even on the show itself, at one point, Jeffrey Robertson asked Neil Blewett, who was the health minister at the time, and he's on the show, and it's a live show, and asked him about needle exchange. And he says, what would you need to convince you? And he said, I'd need my experts to tell me. And he said, I actually have the majority of your expert panel here, and he asked the major mates, so they agree. And overnight, needle exchange policy changed in Australia, and within the next month or two, the federal government invested in needle exchange, and And that's probably what prevented HIV moving into the graduate population. It's probably saved thousands of lives in this country.
It seems like a timely reminder then to revisit the old hypothetical around basic human rights issues and to give context to where we've come from. I think we're having a few technical problems with your mobile phone, to be honest,
yes.
Simon.
Yes, Simon, we're going to go to a track. It's Anthony here. How are you going? We'll get you to continue the conversation when we get back to a song, but we'll listen to Will Young and we'll hear Switch It On. We'll be back right after this. You're on Joy.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. We're talking to Simon Ruth, CEO for VAC, about the Jeffrey Robertson hypothetical, does Dracula have AIDS?
You still with us, Simon?
Yes.
Great.
That sounds much better.
The screening of the hypothetical, does Dracula have AIDS, will be followed by a panel discussion, which you're a part of, Simon. Now, what do you hope to get from that discussion? What's it all about?
So the panel discussion will largely be just reflecting on this hypothetical and the impact it's had on HIV and AIDS policy. And if you look back at it, there were a lot of facts and figures in the original hypothetical. Some of them busted myths. Some of them created myths. Mm. They completely underestimated how fatal the HIV virus was going to be in the original hypothetical. So we'll be talking about parts of that. The panels, it's myself, Brent Allen from Living Positive Victoria, and David Menadue. David's a former board member of both VAC and Living Positive Victoria. He's currently in NAPWA, the National Organisation for People Living with HIV. He's a board member of NAPWA and DFAO, the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations. And David has been in the HIV sector for 30 years, and we'll be asking him for his reflections over that time. Dean Beck is going to be emceeing the panel.
Terrific.
Now, Simon, when is this event taking place and how can people get tickets? And
It's at 4 o'clock on Sunday, and people can either get tickets from emailing us at hypothetical@back.org.au, or they can just go to the Melbourne Queer Film Festival website and access tickets through the portal. I think there's about 30 or 40 tickets left for the showing.
Wow.
So, and Simon, so VAC's been involved in other hypotheticals. They seem to be fairly popular, and we've had a fairly good response in the past. The previous one was titled MJ Loves Tina, Charlie's Chasing Harry. Is that right?
Yes.
So how did you go with, how did that go? What was the response?
So that was our second hypothetical. We did one in 2000, and I've learnt that no one under the age of 30 actually knows what a hypothetical is, so there was a bit of education that had to be done there.
I didn't know.
Yeah, but so. You might pick up from the name MJ Loves Tina, Charlie's Chasing Harry. All those four names are plays on drug. MJ's marijuana, Tina's amphetamines, Charlie's cocaine and Harry's heroin. So it was a...
Everyone under 30 will know exactly what you're talking about there, I guess.
Yeah. So it was a hypothetical that teased out drug use, the way the GLBTI community parties, the risks we put ourselves at, and it told a story of... it told a number of stories, but the main one was about an AFL player who comes out later in life. He's married with children, realises he's gay, goes to Mardi Gras, gets into a bit of strife. And it looked at dating, it looked at coming out both early in life, late in life. We did a lot of exploration of Grindr and the etiquettes of Grindr and hookup apps. We looked at lesbian relationships, we looked at transphobia, and of course, being back, we looked at HIV. That was in there as well.
That was a lot of information that we cover on that hypothetical. Now, was there good feedback about it and how well attended it was and who was actually the panel?
So the panel... it was well attended. We had, I think, over 230 people attend. We will be looking at running one next midsummer as well. And the feedback has unanimously been excellent. Everybody loved it. Everybody's asking for them to be done regularly. The venue, people went as crazy about the venue, so we'll look at a better venue for next year, but it was very popular. The MC of our hypothetical was Professor Rob Moody, and Rob... a lot of people would know from Melbourne Storm or from Vic Health, and Rob's been in the HIV area for many, many years. And we had Joy's own Dean Beck was on the panel. Tim Wilson, the Human Rights Commissioner, was on the panel. Nick Parkhill, the CEO of the AIDS Council of New South Wales, was on the panel. Judith Lucy and Adam Richards were both on the panel and made the room laugh. And we had others like Jez Pez and Brent Allen and Nadine Ezard were all on the panel as well.
Wow, some big names there.
Now, Simon, if people want to watch the MJ Loves Tina, Charlie's Chasing Harry hypothetical that took place during the last midsummer, where can they go?
Yeah, we did video it, and you can either go to the Victorian AIDS Council YouTube channel, and it's on our YouTube channel, or you can just come to the VAC website, vac.org.au, and click on Community Forums, and it's the top one there, which will show you the YouTube video clip. It goes for about an hour, but it's well worth a watch.
Okay.
So, why midsummer? Why screening at midsummer? Melbourne Queer Film Festival.
Melbourne Queer Film Festival. We have a long-term relationship with Melbourne Queer Film Festival, and each year we sponsor a session. And following on from running our own hypothetical, we thought this would be a good opportunity to show this one that we based ours on. There was a lot of interest in the hypothetical model after we ran ours, and particularly for a lot of younger people, they hadn't heard of the way it's done before. And ours was great, but I think people will see from this one that, you know, this is the gold standard.
It sounds good to me, Simon. We should get everyone should go down and get their tickets for this Sunday.
And it's a real different way to get a message across. I think it's really engaging. It's interesting, and I think that because people could listen to all sorts of messages about very important issues in our community, but I think this is a very sort of innovative way of trying to get the message across. So
yeah, and it allows you to put both sides of the debate without necessarily having conflict.
No, that sounds good. Okay.
So, You said that there's only a few tickets left. So if people want to actually go to the screening of Dracula, Does Dracula Have AIDS at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, they should email hypothetical@vac.org.au, correct?
Yep, or contact the film festival directly. We're sending our tickets back to to MQFF tomorrow. So any spare tickets that we've got will be going back to them.
Cool. Thank you so much for that conversation, Simon.
We'll be back right after this. You're on Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Ricky Lee, and I'm proud to be heard on Australia's only LGBTI radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. Now, for those of you out there, VAC has launched a petition for PrEP approval in Australia. So for those of you who don't know what PrEP is, it's pre-exposure prophylaxis.
Correct.
What is it, John?
You take it as a pre-sexual encounter, or if you think you may be at risk of some sort of risk of contracting HIV. And it's one of the antiretrovirals you take prior to any sexual engagement, and you've got to take it on a regular basis and be quite adherent to it. And the reports suggest that if you're compliant, and it's quite effective in reducing your risk of contracting HIV.
Hmm. So it is for HIV-negative men?
Yes.
And as you said, if it's taken as it should be, it is quite effective.
Mm.
VAC, as I said before, VAC has launched a petition to approve PrEP in Australia. So if you want, go to vac.org.au if you want to sign the petition. On the main page, you're gonna see the blue pill. And it says PrEP in Australia. Click on that. It will take you to the page where the change.org petition, its link is there. And you can read the issues paper and the position statement around PrEP.
And it's well worth having a look and well worth considering the whole issue, I think, and in regard to looking after and managing one's own sexual health. Mm. Are we allowed to say the tablet, or is that a no-no? Truvada. I'll say it's Truvada.
Yeah, the blue pill.
The other blue pill that helps things.
Now, yes. In other news, VAC is supporting a Dolce & Gabbana boycott that Elton John has called for.
I'll have to throw my cologne away now.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Domenico Dolce on the Italian magazine Panorama just came out saying something around you are born and you have a father and a mother, or at least it should be like this. That's why I'm not convinced by chemical children or synthetic babies, wombs for rent.
No, it's quite staggering that the two gay guys would have said that and be quite so anti same-sex relationship and same-sex parenting.
Well, he actually said he's opposed to the idea of children growing up with gay parents. Like, you know, that's pretty specific and explicit, you know.
And saying a child needs a mother and a father. We hear those arguments from people like Joe Hockey, for example. Sorry, it doesn't wash with me.
No. And he had the audacity to say that too while Penny Wong was sitting next to him on the panel.
He did.
Well, and especially when, VAC as an organisation, we organised a forum in Chill Out, Chill Out, for Rainbow Families. Of course, we are supporting the boycott that Sir Elton John is calling for the Dolce & Gabbana products.
And as to quote Elton, he says, "How dare you refer to my beautiful children as synthetic?"
Yes.
It's true, isn't it? It's not
Go Elton.
Yeah, that's so. Yeah, so consider that, please.
So for those of you, once again, if you're looking for tickets for the screening of Does Dracula Have AIDS, please email hypothetical@vac.org.au.
And that is a great way to reflect upon where we've come from, the historical context for the HIV debate, and where we're going. And I think Neil Blewett, the health minister, we were lucky to have him at the time because government policy was changed that night. It changed the course of HIV policy. So it's amazing.
And the panel discussion will be actually quite interesting as well.
So you've been listening to Well, Well, Well. I want to thank our guests who came on today. That was Disco and Craig.
Yeah, from Disco from Melbourne Surge, the water polo team. Craig from
the Melbourne Chargers.
The rugby team.
That's
inclusive
right.
teams. That's yes. what they say that they are. Inclusive.
And Simon Ruth, CEO at the VAC, joined us to talk to us about the hypothetical that's coming up. And you can, where can they get more information on that?
hypothetical.vac.org.au. There'll be some little bits of information there. And go to our website. Go to the VAC website.
Brilliant. And just before we wrap up, we do have an SMS. It's an email that's come all the way from the Philippines. Harvey Abajay Kritan has emailed in to say hello. He's listening to the show. And, all the way from the Philippines. So thanks for tuning in.
Oh, that's marvellous.
Yes, it is.
I didn't know we went to the Philippines, but there you go. Maybe he knows somebody.
He must.
Maybe he does. So we'll see you all next week. On Tuesday,
12 to 1 o'clock on Well, Well, Well. We're part of the VAC Health Promotion Team, bringing you messages and ideas and information around sex, health, and your well-being.
That's right. We're going to go. Thanks for joining us today. And we're going to go straight to the afternoon show. You've been listening to Well, Well, Well.
Is that
well.
With Fiona?
No, Fiona. I don't think Fiona's in today. No.
Oh, I beg your pardon, whoever.
But there's going to be lots of cool tracks on for you this afternoon. So thanks for listening. You've been on Well, Well, Well.
Bye.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.